Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God, you lack courage or strength? That's when I'm running my life, you're running your life. I lack courage and strength, and fear comes and we fail over and over again. But when the commander of the army of God comes and fills our life, then we don't have a problem with courage or strength because we rely on his courage and his strength operating through you and operating through me. That's the genius of the Christian life. You invite me to your home and you say, Homer Edwin Young, I want Homer Edwin to come, but I don't want Young to come. Homer Edwin is a nice guy. He's loving, but Young is a strong guy. I want Homer Edwin to come, but I don't want Young to come. Look, you can't get the loving part of me or the loving part of God without getting the strength of God along with it.
The truth is, the greatest plans for your life are not your own. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young brings you the conclusion of his message, Surrender, and shares what happens when you let go of your own agenda and submit to God's. You're going to love the answer, so stay with us to hear more. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Surrender, Part 2.
The first thing I do every morning, the first thing I do every night is fall on my knees, and I start off by saying, I surrender. It's an ongoing lifestyle. So we see this was a call upon God's people. They were prepared to go in the promised land. And they said, Lord, I want you to lead us in that promised land. I want to claim that which you're given. But what were they lacking? They were lacking then probably what they lacked when they didn't go in 40 years before then. And if you were in Bible study this morning, your teacher taught you Joshua chapter 1, and you find there four times in the Bible it is said, talking about strength and courage in that first chapter. By the way, how many of you were in Bible study this morning? Lift your hand. Good. How many of you heard your teacher emphasize that four times here in Joshua, they were asked for strength and for courage? How many of you heard that? The rest of the Bible teachers didn't read that chapter very carefully. Because when God says something one time, you know, that's two times, three, four times in one chapter, I think he's trying to make a statement, right? And how you needed strength and courage. Where do you get strength and courage? We all need strength. We all need courage. Many times we don't have courage. By the way, courage is a very important commodity to have. Read the book of Revelation toward the last chapter. It talks about all of those who are thrown in the fiery pit. They're thrown into the fiery furnace. They're thrown into the fire of judgment. And it's a tough lift. Adulterers, slanderers, liars, cheats, fornicators. I mean, it goes on and on. And on that list, it says, those who are cowards. Oh, I didn't know being cowards was such a bad thing. But you see, we need courage and strength, and that's what these Israelites were lacking there. When they got right to the promised land, they didn't felt they didn't have enough strength to win the battle. They didn't have enough courage to believe God and his promises. So now Joshua says, man, we need strength and we need courage. And the question comes, how do you get strength? Well, you work out, you know. How do you get courage? You're just, oh, Lord, I'm going to be strong this time. I'm going to be. How do you get that? We discover in a fabulous little verse in the Bible. But before that, I want to set out just three principles for us to just sit down on before we get to our principal primary text. Number one, people are people. Boy, better write that down. You know, we look at the people in the Bible, we say, boy, here's a great biblical character. Boy, I could never be like Esther. Man, to think I could be like Joshua. Man, these are way beyond. And we look at people and we say, they're so abnormally gifted. They're so privileged. They talk with God. Listen, people are people. Doesn't matter if you drove up in a Porsche or a 1983 Chevy, people are people. I've met President of the United States who could quote Bible and they would tell you they're a Christian, and I met someone who didn't have hardly the shirt on their back and didn't know where their mess meal would come, and they say they're a Christian. People are people. High, low. There's not those who have and those who have not. They're not those who, well, they're real smart and those who are real, real dumb. No. People are people are people are people. And that's what we need to see is read the Bible. People are people. We look at biblical personalities, we give them too high a position. And many times we give God such a low position. We see someone who's a celebrity and we say, oh, there's somebody who is just super special. No. People are people. We have to understand that. God looks at you and looks at me, and at the foot of the cross, it is just as level as it can be. It is level. God is no respecter of persons. We have to understand that people are people. Now, the second thing, God is God. Better write that down. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? It means God doesn't change. While God operated yesterday, he operates today. How he operates tomorrow is the way he operates today. There is a consistency about the unchanging God. God is God. We take people and make them too godly, and we make God and make God too much like people. A fourth grade class was asked if God understood nuclear energy. 62% of the class said, no, nuclear energy has come about since God. People are people. God is God. How he operates in the Bible is how he operates today in his general principles in your life and in my life and all around this world. And the third thing, principle, miracles are miracles. What is a miracle? A miracle is when something takes place that's outside the norm and it is of such a degree that there is no possible human explanation, and this that takes place gives glory to God. That's a miracle. Not normal, abnormal, supernatural, it gives glory to God. And miracles are miracles, and miracles still take place. Now, you don't have miracles under every bush. Some people say, praise God, hallelujah, every other breath. Some people never say, praise God, hallelujah, every other breath. And so my point is, but God is operating in this domain, and in his economy, he performs miracles. In one sense, they are rare. In one sense, they are commonplace. In one sense, they stand out. But in another sense, they operate in a subtle way in life. Last week, 3 a.m. in the morning, about 3:05, I wake up and a name comes to my mind, a man in our church. I hadn't thought of him. I'd had no reference to him. And I don't know how long, but a name comes up and I said, well, I'll pray for him. And I did. The next morning, when I checked the hospital list, as I do virtually every morning, I looked and there was his name. He hadn't been in the hospital before. And I said, you know, that was God somehow in the family of faith touching my heart and life to pray for that. That happens to all of us, right? Someone comes to your mind and you call them family, friend, or something out of the blue. And it's amazing when we follow up on that, how they were prepared and how our call or our touch made a great difference to them in that particular moment. Is that a miracle? It's how God operates in the family of faith. People are people, God is God, miracles are miracles. And we come here and we try to ask the question, well, do the Israelites need a miracle to go and, well, first of all, they had to take down Jericho, a strong city with double walls. And now we read a little obscure passage of scripture that I think is ever so powerful. Look at the book of Joshua, chapter number 5, verse 13 following. It reads, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Now, when was the last time Joshua was in Jericho? Man, it's been, oh gosh, how many years ago? They wandered around for 40 years there. It'd been 40 years. He was one of the spies, remember? And now he goes back to Jericho and he's looking over the city they were going to have to capture. It stood right there before him. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Stay with me. Joshua goes over and looks at that vast city. And he says, my, how are we going to do this? He's trying to find strength and courage. He was the commander of the army of the Lord. He was the leader. And there standing before him was a man with a sword drawn. And he standing there, and Joshua, notice, Joshua went to him. Very important. And I think Joshua went to him and he had his hand on his sword and he went to the man with the sword drawn. He said, are you for us or for our adversary? In other words, whose side are you on? Are you on my side? Are you on the other side? Are you for me or are you against me? Now notice this answer. It is so strong yet so subtle, but so informative, so words. And he drew the sword. Are you for me or against me? And verse 14, this is the man with a drawn sword, said, no. How about that? Are you for me or against me? No. What's he saying? He says, I'm not for you and I'm not against you. And then he goes and said, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. You get that? He says, as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And the next passage says, Joshua fell down and worshiped him. And worshiped him. What's he saying here? He's saying that the commander of the army of the Lord has now come. And Joshua, I'm not for you. I'm not against you. The commander of the army of the Lord has now come. And all you have to do is enroll in my army. And you see what happened. Joshua fell down and worshiped him. He says, oh, Lord, what am I to do? He said, just take off your shoes because this is holy ground, and worship me. We need to understand something. Lord, are you for me or against me? The Lord say, I'm not for you. I'm not against you. You just worship me. The Lord God Almighty has come. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus doesn't come to help you and help me fulfill our agenda, fulfill our program, that which I think is good, that which I think is right, that which I think is beautiful. The Lord God doesn't come as commander of the army to sign up as a lieutenant while you're still the general. God isn't a lieutenant, he is a general, and the verse is very clear. The commander of the army of the Lord has come, Joshua. It's not that I'm for you, I'm against you. I'm here to take over the whole enterprise. You just sign up and get in line as a bug private. A lot of us come to Christ. Boy, what God can do for me, what Christ can help me. Boy, I need healing, I need life, I need a job, I need forgiveness. We come for all that Jesus can give us. And all that is part of it, but that's not the primary thing. We come primarily to say, Lord, I want you to come and run my life. You lack courage or strength? That's when I'm running my life, you're running your life. I lack courage and strength, and fear comes and we fail over and over again. But when the commander of the army of God comes and fills our life, then we don't have a problem with courage or strength because we rely on his courage and his strength operating through you and operating through me. That's the genius of the Christian life. You invite me to your home and you say, Homer Edwin Young, I want Homer Edwin to come, but I don't want Young to come. Homer Edwin is a nice guy. He's loving, but Young is a strong guy. I want Homer Edwin to come, but I don't want Young to come. Look, you can't get the loving part of me or the loving part of God without getting the strength of God along with it. You see, we want him to be our savior and to help us achieve all that we think we want to achieve and all that we think's right in our lives. We want him to do that, but we're still commander of our life. He wants to come and say, look, I want to command your life, not only to save you, but I want to be the Lord. And when we're saved in him and he is Lord in us, let me tell you something. Strength we have, courage we have, and that is what happened here to Joshua. What must I do, Lord? Nothing. You just worship. Remember the purpose, what God wanted to build out of these Israelites, these Jews, to teach them that God was holy, that he wants them to be holy and different and separate and to be worshipers of him. And when that happened, the children of Israel were absolutely bulletproof. Bulletproof with strength and with courage. And as long as the Lord God Almighty is the commander-in-chief of my life and the commander-in-chief of your life, we're not trying to enlist God as our lieutenant or so God can do this or do that, or you on my side or the other side. We just say, Lord, I just on your side. You know, you're the commander-in-chief. I surrender all. That's what it is. That's the genius and the secret of the Christian life. In the war between the states, Abraham Lincoln, when he was elected president, had about 3 pounds of God. That's all he wanted. He knew the gospel story. That's what he had. But in 1862, in the Battle of Manassas, which the Union lost, he thought the war was lost. The same time his son Willie died suddenly. And Lincoln came to the bottom of himself, and he went to the Lord, and his prayer, you can read in history, went something like, I'm the commander-in-chief of the Army of the United States. But he said, Lord, I'm failing in every way. It's because I want to make you commander-in-chief of my life. And that's when Abraham Lincoln became a Christian. He knew the facts. He had about 3 pounds of God. But then when he surrendered his all, everything changed. We hear over and over again on every TV channel, every internet, everything, boy, America's divided and this and that, and somebody's lying, somebody's telling the truth. Let's have 16 more studies and spend another zillion dollars of your money and my money to try to find out. We hear this ad infinitum over and over. I can tell you the answer to all of it. It's the same answer in the Confederate War. It's the same answer in any family. When Jesus Christ becomes commander-in-chief of a life, of a family, of a nation, healing always takes place, every single time. So what are we to do? Take our shoes off. Just take our shoes off. Worship him. Say, Lord, this is it. For not my agenda. I want your agenda. Not my goals, what I think. I want what you know and what you have planned. I surrender. And through surrender always comes victory. Victory.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Well, Dr. Young, thanks for spending some time in the studio with us today. Moses didn't always trust in God's plan, but God was always faithful. How can someone today work on trusting God's plan for their life and recover from betrayals in our relationships?
I don't know if I've ever had a vision for my life. I discovered a long time ago that when I surrender, God takes whatever is there and uses it just the way he wants to use it. Every morning of my life, the first thing that hits the floor when I roll out of bed, my knees. And I have a problem with S-E-L-F, self. That's the biggest problem I've got, folks. And by the way, it's your biggest problem, too. So I've put together a little acrostic, S-E-L-F. I hit the floor and I hold my hands out over the bed and I say, Lord, I surrender to you. Surrender is usually the first word that comes to my mind when I wake up. By the way, I do the same thing before I go to bed. Surrender. And then I hold my hands out and I say, empty, Lord, take all the stuff out of my life that's not pleasing you. And then I have the L. I turn my hands over, I lift them up, and I tell the Lord, I love him. I love him. S-E-L-F. F. And then I ask him to fill me with himself, with his spirit. So that's how I try to handle self every day. And the beginning of handling of self, handling of life, is, Lord, surrender. People say, I'm going to try harder. Quit trying. I'm going to try to be a Christian. Quit trying. Surrender to Christ. His spirit will come, and he will give you the strength and the ability to discern, to move, and to keep the fire of truth burning deep within your heart, in your life, and in your lifestyle.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which he wants to build your family and marriage. In his 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shares why you may be just the person God is looking for to do something amazing. It's a powerful message you won't want to miss.